Welcome back to segment number two of Meet the Community here this morning. Speaking with Chad Unterreiner. He is the Parks and Recs Director for the City of Mexico. You know, before we left off to go to break, you were talking a little bit about the Mexico Aquatic Center. That is a beautiful facility. Had the slide that was constructed last year and has opened up. You were talking about the teenage population. It's become very, very popular over there for them. My son, he was over there almost every day that he could be over there. Has attendance gone up since that new slide and the new aquatic center has been built?
So, yeah, and I don't remember what the numbers were for in 23, but in this year, and being my first year overseeing, you know, I got hired. My first day of work here was May 31st. So, you know, I'm hot and heavy right in the middle of the things. And we had a little over far as a general mission, far as the four and up, was around 14,000 people. So was our general mission. So very pleased with that. Our three and under, I'm going to tell you, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was 1,000, 2,000, you know, in that range. So, you know, it was very family-driven, family-oriented, very pleased with it. I would like for us to sell a few more season passes, you know, type thing. I think we can improve there. I can tell you, as far as revenue-wise, with what our point of sales were, was around $9,000 increase between concessions and admissions, you know. So that was generated more by the admissions. If I had to guess, it would be around 8,000 admissions, 1,000 far as concessions, you know, for sales. And the thing is, for me, is on the revenue side, is I'm very pleased with it, because that wasn't due to a price hike. I mean, the price was the same cost, you know, as far as last year. You know, when you look at just revenue side of things, oh, what drew, how did you get more numbers? Well, ours had to be due to more attendance, because there was no price hikes, you know, going into this year. So I was very pleased. We had a few after hours events to where we had some night swims that we tried, and looking to build off that far as next year goes is trying to create a little bit more programming with the pool, you know, as far as the hours of operation, so you're maximizing the use of why you have it. I mean, kind of in my realm of things, you have 100 days to maximize, you know, whenever you look at the duration of the pool length, you know. And so I was very pleased. I think we got a great start on the benchmark for my first year of just seeing with where we're at and with where we can go and just some different things that we can try to do, try to improve on. You know, it was very great. Just the appreciation that people have of the pool. You never know when you get a group of people together of how it's going to go, how it's going to interact. And I mean, overall, it was one of the better pool years I've ever been a part of, just because of the appreciation. And you know, the slides went over very well. On that, you know, there's a few times where we do close the slides early, you know, about 15 minutes before, just because of the wrap up and just kind of gearing things down. But besides that, you know, we had a lot of great feedback with people utilizing it, and you know, just people getting that extra amenity, you know, type thing. Pools are such a challenge, because how do you create, everybody wants that water park, but who can afford the water park, you know? And so just the different amenities that is in Mexico pool is you have the rock wall, you do have a diving board, and you know, a lot of diving boards are going away. They're just doing the platforms because of a liability, and we still have that feature. So I was very pleased with how the setup went. Mr. Shoemaker and the team did a fantastic job of the redesign of the pool, you know, type thing, of maximizing the use and maximizing the people interaction in the pool.
Sure. You know, a lot of the students from Mexico High School are employees over at the pool. We talked to Chad Shoemaker a couple of years ago after COVID. It was hard to find people to come in and fill those positions. Did you have any issues with keeping with employing lifeguards this year? And I always enjoy watching the lifeguards of the week up on your Facebook page. How did everything go there?
It went very well. One of the things is, you know, and I'm not saying this was oversight, it's just you don't think about it till you're in season, is that by adding the slides, that was three extra people that you had to fill, you know, and so that type of thing, you know. But my thing is that I just reiterated to our staff was, you know, very few people, very few employers have summer jobs. You know, I mean, I'm saying this when I was fortunate, you know, growing up as a kid, I'm just using, you know, many corporate places embraced the summer help and understood that now they're wanting you year round because they're investing in you, and we're not that way. Essentially, you know, we're still one of the few employers that we just need you for 10 weeks, you know, make all your money that you want in 10 weeks, you know, type thing, and then you're done, you know. And so that is a recruiting and a sales pitch for us to get employees to come work for us. And I can tell you we had one day to where we did have to shut down the slide because we were short staffed to help fill in the other needs. But besides that one day, and that was due to sickness and vacations, I mean, no matter how many employees that you have, they all take off at the same time, you know. So but I was very pleased with that, you know. And my thing is, even in one of my previous position, I haven't seen the lifeguard shortage in rural America because they are still supportive of those local jobs. They still need a place to go. Now, on the urban sides of the larger communities, yeah, because they have, I'm saying, you know, a lot of corporate to where they're paying more than the minimum wage or slightly above, to where it is a challenge to compete, you know, on that. And so in the small town America type thing is, I'm not saying there isn't a struggle, a challenge, but they're getting filled because people still embrace the hometown commitment and the hometown community of being able to support and engage in that.
Most certainly. Let's talk about another thing that Parks and Recs is going to be involved in here very soon, the dog park. This has been a topic of conversation now for several years, several different election cycles. People have wanted the dog park. It looks like now this is going to get done. City Council has put funding into the fiscal year budget for this dog park. I think a location has been decided upon. Tell us what you know about this dog park, and is it going to come? Will it be a reality?
So I do think the dream will come to fruition in this, and I do think it'll be in this fiscal year. We were fortunate for one of our capital improvement projects is that the City Council did approve this. Now getting the logistics, now finalizing things. So there's a couple surveys that have happened. One was just finished up, I think the results came back in April, but it was last year. And then before that, there was four or five years before that was another survey. So the information is there, you know, for the dog park need. We do have a potential place to with where we're can put a dog park with where we feel comfortable putting it. Where we're at right now is on the planning phase, and so then after the planning phase will happen, our new fiscal year starts October 1. We're, for the people, we are an October to September fiscal year, not a calendar fiscal year. So depending what community you're at, it's depending on with what when their fiscal year starts. So we are October 1. So I hope, you know, for us, you know, that we'll be able to put the RFPs out, you know, in October or November for that, and kind of seeing with what they can do with the area of potential with where we're looking at. You know, I know one of the things that with whenever I was seeing in reviews and been told, you know, many people want it, but just where is the area it's going to go because of neighborhood size or noises and so forth. So we think we got a pretty good location to put it, you know, type thing. It's just now that we have the funding with what we know what we can utilize for that, now it's just making it all come together. And so I would say the RFP would probably go out in October, November, you know, and then after that, then hopefully, you know, they'll be able to get materials. You know, one of the things is that we're seeing a lot is just people like, oh, we don't know when the materials are going to come in, you know, and that was, you know, during the COVID time, we saw that a lot. So I don't know if manufacturers like, hey, we control the supply and demand, you know, and we'll decide when we get it out to you how it works in our schedule. So that's one of the things is, so it's so much of a challenge to tell people, oh, we're going to have it. And then you get the notification, oh, by the way, it's still 2 more weeks out. And so, but I would be surprised if we don't have something in place and the logistics all worked, you know, for next fiscal year.
Pretty exciting news. We'll definitely keep our eye on that spot.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's take our second break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Chad Unterreiner, the radio star, here in just a moment as Meet the Community continues on AM 1340 KXEO.